The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're obviously on the eve of the UK election. Labour predicted to win 431 seats, Tories to win 102 seats. No other way, if that turns out to be what happens, no other way to look at it as anything other than an unmitigated disaster for the Conservatives. One of the most crushing defeats in their history. And there is still the potential that the PM may set the record of being the first Prime Minister to lose his seat, although more recent polling shows that that is becoming less and less likely. I'm joined by Anne Widdecombe, of course, former Conservative, now Reform UK's immigration and justice spokesperson, and Adam Bolton, political commentator and former Sky News political editor. And of course, Adam is now presenter for Times Radio. And Adam, let me start with you. That's the current polling as we have it now. It looks like Labour on course for the biggest majority since 1832. Do you think they're right?
Well, the polls have shown a lead of 20%, 20 points by Labour for now over a year. And that's been held throughout this election, largely in part because the vote on the right is split. And with the entry of Nigel Farage into this race 6 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, the vote for the Conservatives is split, and that means that it does look, if you look at what the polls are saying, that the Tories are on course for one of their worst results ever, less than 150 MPs. And correspondingly, the way first past the post works, it looks as if Labour Party are on course for a victory bigger than Tony Blair's in 1997. With more than 400 MPs, as you say. I wouldn't take the precise figures in any of these polls too seriously.
Can you explain what happened to cause the precipitous shift in popularity? Because looking at it from a distance, the recent Conservative administration has been characterised by being shambolic for some time, but being shambolic didn't stop it being popular. So what has happened to cause the fall off in popular support?
Well, if you trace it back, the public lost patience with the Conservative Party, and Labour pulled ahead in the winter of 21-22. That is when the stories emerged about Partygate and Boris Johnson. That eventually led to pressure on Boris Johnson, along with other mishaps and mishandlings of the situation, and the determination of the House of Commons that he was a liar. That forced him out. He was replaced by Liz Truss, and she basically doubled the low esteem in which the Conservative Party was held with a financial, an unworkable financial package, which resulted in panic on the markets and a rapid increase in mortgages for people, which wasn't sustained, but nonetheless was a major shock. That damaged the Conservatives' reputation for competence. That's when Labour pulled ahead by 20 points. Rishi Sunak, frankly, has not made any great difference to that. He was never the choice of his party other than as a compromise candidate after they voted for other people. He has not inspired people. He's also had a disastrous campaign, starting from the day he announced what many people regard as a premature election, standing in the rain in Downing Street without an umbrella, to bunking off from D-Day earlier, to members of his own staff being caught betting on the election timing. It's been one of the most atrocious Conservative campaigns, but oddly, it hasn't made things any worse. It just hasn't made things any better than where the Conservatives appeared to be heading anyway. The British public has no great love for the Labour Party, but it has clearly lost its patience with the Conservatives after five prime ministers in 14 years.
And of course, as Labour eat away at the centre-left and left side, so to what extent Conservatives have a left side of the Conservative Party, on the right-hand side of things, they have reform as a new threat. And of course, their immigration spokesperson and justice spokesperson is Anne Widdecombe, and she is with us. Good afternoon, Anne. Can I ask you about the that YouGov poll? At the moment, it is a reform on about 15% of the share of vote, but by virtue of first past the post, they're projecting that could be anything from 0 seats to 14. Nigel Farage has long flattered to deceive in parliamentary elections. Is this going to be the time that he actually succeeds, do you think?
At all surprised if that happened this time. I would not be at all surprised if we got in the upper numbers of the range of seats that you've just identified. After all, there have been polls showing us getting up to 18. And what has been happening throughout this campaign, quite undeniably, is the trajectory, because we went from a prediction of no seats to 3 seats, to 6 seats, etc., until we ended up at 18. And our polling, you know, we began off at about 9%, and we've ended up overtaking the Tories in some polls and not falling back much beyond 18, 19%. So the trajectory is upwards. Of course, you know, people may become unnerved at the last moment, may decide that they've got to try and rescue the awful Tories. I don't know. I can't fully predict it any more than Adam can.
Can I ask in relation to that phrase, the awful Tories? I've read your logic and reasoning for wanting to be in reform. You're obviously not, you are not the knife in the back that is giving the fatal wound to the Tories in this election, but you are definitely an additional stab wound. Have you any guilt over that, about undermining a party that in ideological and policy terms you are relatively still aligned with?
The short and simple answer to that is no. I will have great sadness on Friday when all the results are in. I will have great sadness because I know very well, you know, that some of my friends will lose their seats. I will be sad, but being sad is very different from having regrets. And I don't have a scintilla of regret. The party did this to itself. Keir Starmer hasn't won this election. The Conservatives have just sat up and thrown it at him, just thrown him the election. And they've spent 5 years infighting, obsessed with leadership changes and factions and all the rest of it, when what they should have been doing was blaring out a Conservative message and running the country.
We have a lot of experience in Ireland in small parties forming, dissolving or being subsumed back into the parties with which they are fellow travellers. It's not quite as common in the UK. Is it a possibility for reform? Is a reverse takeover the big long-term dream?
I don't know that it's a big long-term dream, but what is our immediate dream is to have an opposition that really is an opposition and which is based on common sense and proportionality and individual opportunity and lower taxes and all the other things that the Conservatives used to absolutely stand for. And it was because they stood for those things that Mrs. Thatcher, for example, was able to appeal to a very wide range of economic groups, and that Boris Johnson was able to appeal to what is now called the Red Wall. But that's all gone because they have thrown it away. Now, I think an opposition could be formed, which could be very effective. And it may be that there will have to be some agreement between the Tories and Reform. But we're not in the business of doing deals of the kind that we've done before, because we know they don't honour them.
Anne, thank you very much for your time. That is Anne Widdecombe, Reform UK's immigration and justice spokesperson. Adam, if I can give the final words and analysis to you. There are obviously some things that are expected of the Labour Party, many of them terminations of policies like Rwanda. On the positive side of things, what will Keir Starmer have to do first 100 days, first 6 months, and what will the Labour Party have to do to prove that they are on top of it and delivering on what looks to be an extraordinary mandate?
Well, I think the first 100 days are likely to be quite difficult for the Labour Party because Keir Starmer is talking about needing 10 years to turn around the country. He's not someone who plans to move particularly quickly. That said, with a very big mandate, if he gets it, as the opinion polls suggest, he has said at top of his list is to restore order and orderly government and also ethics at the top of British government. And I think he can make some moves in that direction. He's also saying that in the first 100 days, he will do things to try and sort out Britain's energy crisis, which, of course, is linked to global warming, and move towards organising the railways. But everything we're hearing from Sir Keir Starmer is that he intends proceeding slowly, not shocking the public. I mean, for example, I'm not sure whether we'll even get a budget within his first 100 days. If we do, it'll be right at the end of a three-month period. So he's not going to rush at it. The view that Labour takes is that the country has been put through the ringer by its governments, and they don't intend starting to do that again.
Adam, thank you very much for your time. That's Adam Bolton of Times Radio, formerly Sky News political editor.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.